Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey towards truth, traveling through our dreams and an inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All Roads Lead 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings. Thank you for joining me on VBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement, to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring Jews to become leaders by establishing partnerships with entrepreneurs, corporations, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on VBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max. My special guest today is Mr. Michael Glaspie, who states an abused child can grow up to become a successful businessman. Out of that abuse and poverty, he spends his life in service of others, bringing housing to the poor, bringing local governments back to the people, even being in the right place at the right time to help people, even saving lives. Mr. Glaspie has gone on to become one of the most prolific website owners and marketers on the internet every week on Tuesday at 7 Eastern Standard Time. For many years, he has hosted a free conference call podcast teaching people specifically how to be a better you. It's all about marketing. It's all about sales. It's all about success and life. At last, thank you so much for joining me, Mr. Glaspie, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for that wonderful, wonderful introduction, Pamela. And thank you also, Mr. Newsom. I appreciate this opportunity to share some of my story.
Yes, Pamela, sir.
Pamela, I have a few prepared remarks, and actually quite a few. And
okay,
if you will bear with me, I would like to go through them. And the reason that I have them written will become apparent to you and all of your wonderful listeners. So
thank you.
With that, I would like to begin. What would you do is my question for you and your audience, Pamela. What would you do if you heard these words? What would you do if you heard these words from your doctor? I am sorry to inform you, you have a terminal illness. There is no known cure. And based upon average statistical data, you have somewhere between 48 and 60 months remaining life expectancy. What would you do? It's an honest and a very serious question, I think. What would you do? Would you begin making plans for that trip you never seem to have time for or the money for? Would you call your family and loved ones and give them the news? Or would you keep it to yourself so as not to cause others any pain just yet? Would you make it a point to attend those backyard barbecues and more frequently, or to begin attending those family get-togethers you never seem to otherwise have time for? Or would you go into complete denial? Simply throw your hands up in the arms and arms up in the air and say, this can't be happening to me. No, not me. Would you call your doctors for a second, third, or a fourth opinion? Would you begin writing letters to everyone you can think of? Those people whom you may have harmed in some way, and ask them for forgiveness. Would you call or write letters to all of those you can remember who you have caused your harm, and I'm sorry I said that, and ask for forgiveness. Would you call your lawyer and make certain that your last will and testament is up to date, or you create a new one if you have not done one at all? Would you buckle down and begin to do that bucket list? Things you somehow never had time for. What would you do? I can tell you this. Your answers to these questions, you are now telling yourself in all likelihood, what you would really do is probably very different than what you may think you would do right now. You know, we all have a common destiny, Pamela. We all do. We all share a common destiny. We all have our own unique me in this equation. We all have our own story inside of us, a story which needs to be told. We all want to be remembered somehow once we are gone. It's just human nature, I think. I think that's the way it is, the way we humans are built. We all have this story about us, about who we were, about the things we did, about the things we were proud of, and yes, even those things we were not so proud of. The people you know and the people you care about, they do want to know the who you were. They do. It matters not what you did or those things you did not do or accomplish. It is the story of the who that matters, and nothing more and nothing less. Well, it happened to me. You see, in late May of 2023, I sat quietly in my doctor's office, holding tightly to my wife's hand as I heard those words. The doctor gave us the diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. She informed us I was likely afflicted 7 to 8 years ago. She told us I have, on the average, based on statistical data, 4 to 5 years life expectancy. During the first 80% of that time, I would lose first short-term memory capabilities. That's in progress now. Then the long-term memory. That is the who I am and the who you are. Followed by the loss of cognitive abilities. That is the 2+2. And the final remaining 20% or so of the time here I have in this existence, I will lose my autonomic nerve system abilities. So in the end, in agony, while unable to communicate this, I will simply stop breathing. Jokingly, I tell my friends, I can tell you how to make a great BLT, Pamela. I just cannot tell you with absolute certainty if I had one for lunch yesterday. In fact, as fate would have it, in preparation for spine surgery number 6, I was required to go through a number of tests to determine surgery suitability. I barely passed those tests. I had the surgery January 17th, just this year. But it was then I was discovered that I had a aortic aneurysm on top of everything else. I'm currently waiting on the plans to deal with this new condition. I can't seem to get a break in all of this. So I have been busy doing many of those things that I have asked you to consider. What would you do? I'm doing them now. In 2017, Pamela, I actually wrote most of which has now become known as I Talk to God, Amazing True Stories of an Ordinary Man. But just this past November in 2023, I decided to publish it on Amazon. The book wherein I share my story with the world. And I Talk to God, I even discuss at length my role in what has become known as the Mike G. Coin Deal. I talk about the way my God led me to success after a life of 17 years of physical and mental abuse as an abused child. And at this site, Pamela, www.italktogod.com, I describe this book in considerable detail. There I also have a link to Amazon where you can jump from that page to the Amazon link where the book is posted for sale. For example, at this site, I begin with my lengthy preface. Where I discuss how I became involved in a scheme where I invested my own money. People don't know this. Over $100,000 for 6 months before I ever told a single person about it. And how ultimately the Department of Justice presented me with a plea agreement, which in the end saved considerable more charges, serious charges, under the should have known legal concept, a concept for a man like me, likely never to prevail upon. I should have known. And a deal which ultimately also saved others, people close to me, from indictment and prosecution. The preface deals with these things, and the preface all by itself, I think, is a fascinating read. I began with the first 10 chapters relating candidly and openly to my personal experiences with my God. I hold nothing back, Pamela. I may have you laughing, I may have you crying, but in the end, I promise, I promise, I commit to you, I will give you proof there is another existence to this physical one we all currently enjoy. Only recently published on Amazon, this book has already received many, many five-star reviews. If you don't mind, Pamela, I would like to share just a few of them with you now.
Please.
Would that be all right?
Thank you. Just fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mike, thank you for sharing your new book with me. It was an easy and enjoyable read. I read it straight through. A few things stood out for me. First of all, it glorified and honored our Creator and God Almighty. It was not religious at all. It was very inspirational. Though a Christian believer for 52 years, I found your book helped to restore fresh hope and faith in my life as I read it. It allowed me to learn more about you. I have admired you and respected you since I first became acquainted with you over 3 years ago. After reading the book, I wish that we would have met and shared our appreciation for the goodness of God. Mike, your book is a blessing to me, and I'm sure it will be to others as well. You remain in my prayers, and I want you to know that I believe in you. Godspeed, Mark Kemp, PC, Palm Coast, Florida. And another, Pamela. Hi, Mike, what a fascinating journey, and thank you for the courage it took to share this in writing. I found myself sharing some of your trials and tribulations and your discovery that there was something out there larger than yourself, that you and I are merely actors in a much larger play whose script has been written before, long before we were born. I have long believed that we are all on a journey of what I call the timeless path, and that everything that happens to us on this earthly plane and our responses to those events is a preparation for our life in the kingdom of God. I also found it intriguing that our relationship with God is different. He talks to each of us and makes himself known in ways that we understand, but others may not. Sometimes he talks to us directly via powerful thoughts, that appear out of nowhere. Other times he speaks through others, but how he gets our attention is unique to us. And our relationship with us is very personal. Thank you again, my friend, for sharing and confirming what I have believed. This is from Phil Bastian, a Christian and an author and a ULC minister and a professional counselor. Mike, your book was so good. Thank you for your transparency. I appreciate the privilege of being one of the first people to review your book. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed hearing the background where God brought you from and into where you are now. I was very inspired to and grateful to learn that you are giving all these thanks to God. This book will inspire many people to look for special things from a supernatural God rather than just simply expecting from the natural realm. This from Elizabeth Ario. One last one, if I may, Pamela.
Please.
The story of life and hope. Thanks for sharing your personal stories of tragedy and triumph. It clearly shows how life has twists and turns, presenting us seemingly insurmountable problems. It gives validation to using God or higher power for help to overcome those issues. While we are seemingly doing the right thing, tragedy can strike and turn our world upside down. Turning to a God gets us back on track. Having personally known you for 47 years, I know you have always believed in everything you did and looked for ways to help others too. I hope you continue to do so. Yours forever, and your 1 week older friend, Mike Franceschi. He was born exactly 7 days before I was born, and we've been friends for 50 plus years. Wonderful friend.
Wow. Wow.
Do you have a list, I need to ask? Or do you have a following on any of the social media sites? Please see www.italktogod.com and see the link there for Amazon, along with much more detail about this book. This book of hope, this book about no fear. There is a God, and I have seen proof, and I share that proof with you in these pages. Listen, Amazon does not pay a great deal. It's only about 4%. However, I promise you, if your audience will thank you for this suggested book. And please feel free to contact us. There's a link there at italktogod.com. If you would like to discuss anything with us, I suppose just like everyone else, I too want to be remembered. I want my story to come from me.
Yes.
Not from those who assume they know the truth, who have been internet educated with only one side of the story. I think you should know the real man behind the name Mike G. I'm entitled to this, don't you? I'm determined to get my message out. It's not about my reputation. It's not about the truth of God. And I share in great detail stories I personally experienced in my talks with my God. And I am now, because of this remarkable personal past of mine, completely and totally at peace with those words from my doctor that were spoken to me in late May of last year. My sole purpose in telling the story of me is to help all readers and those they know find the same level of comfort in knowing the truth of God. In fact, I will accept no personal income from the sales of I Talk to God, amazing true stories of an ordinary man. Prophets do mean will be sent to AACR. That's the American Cancer, American Association for Cancer Research. your invitation. I invite you to help me share this message with the world, a message of comfort, a message of joyful understanding, a message, a true message, Pamela, of have no fear. I have been told by others who have, excuse me, who have received a review copy from me, yes, including the audio version. There's a poem in the audio version, not in the written versions, but just in the audio versions. I hope you will find it also. I'll share that poem with you in a few moments if you like. This book is the first in a series, Pamela. In the final closing chapters, all formats, I invite readers to submit their true story for publication in future books, all in the series, We Talk to God, Amazing True Stories from Ordinary People. So volumes 2 through 10 will be published. And in the book, I give you an email address to submit your personal talk with God for publication consideration. Obviously, I will not be around to complete this important work, and I'm okay with that. I truly am. My wife and John Bradshaw, my publisher, will pick up with where I leave off, when I leave, to share these stories with the world. People tend to be afraid of the dark, but only because they do not know what the darkness holds. Knowing what awaits, what the darkness holds for all of us, provides a degree of comfort I want to share with the world, and I hope you will help me make this accomplishment and this goal in I Talk to God as I shine the spotlight on this darkness. The website, www.italktogod.com, tells more, much more, including all of the links to Amazon for each format, and the ebook and the printed version and the audio version and the hardcover. And here's a poem, Pamela. And I hope that you and your audience like and appreciate this. This poem has been my guiding light for over 50 years. A source of direction and inspiration and my guide to a successful life. It was written by a Sam Foss way back in 1876. Never copyrighted. So it's been in the public domain all these years. Therefore, you can use it at your discretion. I also give you this poem in the audio version, but not the printed versions. So here goes. May I read this poem, please, Pam?
Please do. Totally inspired.
Pardon me while I take a brief mocha break. Bear with me, please. Pardon me. Pardon me. Thank you. The calf path. One day through the primeval wood, a calf walked home, as good calf should. It made a trail all bent askew, a crooked trail, as all calves do. Since then, 300 years have fled, and I infer that calf is dead. But still he left behind his trail, and thereby hangs my moral tale. The trail was taken up next day by a lone dog that passed that way. And then a wise bellwether sheep pursued the trail o'er vale and steep, and drew the flock behind him too, as good bellwethers always do. And from that day o'er hill and glade, through those old woods, a path was made. And many men wound in and out, and dodged and turned, and bent about. They uttered words of righteous wrath, because 'twas such a crooked path. But still they followed, do not laugh, the first migrations of that calf. And through this winding woodway stalk, because he wobbled when he walked, this forest path became a lane that bent and turned again. This crooked lane became a road where many a poor horse with his load toiled on beneath the burning sun and traveled some 3 miles in one. And thus, a century and a half, they trod the footsteps of that gaff. The years passed on in swift and sleet. The road became a village street, and this, before men were aware, a city's crowded thoroughfare. And soon the central street was this, a renowned metropolis. And men 2 centuries and a half trod in the footsteps of that calf. Each day, 100,000 rout followed the zigzag calf about. And o'er his crooked journey went the traffic of a continent. 100,000 men were led by one calf, near 3 centuries dead. They followed still his crooked way and lost at least 100 years a day. For thus such reverence is lent to well-established precedent. A moral lesson this might teach were I ordained and called to preach, for men are prone to go up blind along the calf paths of the mind and work away from sun to sun to do what other men have done. They followed in the beaten track and out and in and forth and back, and still their devious course pursued to keep the path that others do. They keep the path, a sacred groove along which all their lives they move. But how the wise old wood gods laugh who saw that first primeval calf. Ah, many things this tale might teach, but I am not ordained to preach.
Oh.
You know, God has given me grooming all my life. God selected me to help tell there is a God. God put me, as I discuss in the book, at all those places on the water to save those lives, not for them so much, but to somehow show me there is a God. I hope I do a good job with this assignment. I hope I can ease the fears of death for people, knowing death is just the next step we all must take. There really is nothing to fear. I'll see you on the other side, is the message. I say thank you for listening to my remarks. And I stand ready to answer your questions now. And I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak so much without interruption, as you now have come to learn. If I am sidetracked, I often forget where I left off, and I find I need to write everything down these days.
Right.
Thank you, Pamela.
You're so welcome. It was so beautiful. You see, I had to take off my glasses. You had me a little teary-eyed here. You are such an amazing man. I was reading about you, and I went on your website, and from all the accolades that you have and everything that you have done and your accomplishments from real estate as well. And it's so funny because I was in real estate too, but I was a notary public and I loved what I was doing. And I remember my mom and my mentor at that time, she just wanted me to become a broker. And I was like, why do I want to become a broker when I can make just as much as money as you guys as a notary? Because I had all the major contracts. And so you really inspired me. And it always brings me back to the measure of a great leader who has much less to do with how you define your role. It is more about your actual impact on others, qualities of a great leader who will have resilience and transparency and emotional intelligence are the main factors that make a successful leader, in my opinion. And I do believe individuals such as you, Mike, have this powerful gift. And it is good for the human race, being able to give clarity and to help others to understand their awakening is what the world needs. And again, I thank you for sharing your gift. All the questions that I had, you answered.
You make my job so easy today.
Yes, all the questions. But I do have one question, which,
of course.
You know, when we are on this journey and we have these accomplishments, but it's not so often that people really talk about some of the things they have done that were not good. And in your words, and this never before look at proof of something which lies beyond for all of us. You revealed for the first time the rise and the fall of a man's reputation, yours. And you, the man currently awaiting sentencing for your role in aiding and abetting a con man in raising over $55 million inside of 3 years online. And you say openly that that was me for the first time. You discuss your role in the fraud. I found this to be an inspiration for others. If you don't mind, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I certainly can. Let me preface any further remarks with this. The real culprit, his trial is yet to happen. And mm-hmm. I have been admonished by the court to be careful what I say.
Okay.
Because I will likely be called upon to be a witness against him. But I truly believe in what he and through his spokespeople were telling me. And people that think that I am the root of all evil, I'm not going to change their mind and let those minds think what they will, I guess. But I ask them to just consider this one simple question. If I truly were out to scam people all on my own, if that was my goal, would I put $100,000 of my own money in this man's companies for 6 months before I ever told anyone about him, only to have weekly meetings with his right-hand man, his board of advisor to me, to ask questions about how things were going and what was happening and trying to do my own vetting? Would I do that? When I put my own money into something, only to then turn around and say, okay, it's time for me to cheat other people also. I just ask people to genuinely reflect on that and ask themselves that question. Beyond that, Pamela, I guess I need to be careful. I have been advised by my attorney to be very careful what I say.
I respect that.
Pending this, he's supposed to go on trial sometime this summer. He's not been put on trial yet. I pled guilty to aiding and abetting. I needed to do that. I needed to put an end to this. And I have been sentenced to 72 months, 6 years. And I report April 24th, 3 weeks from now. I will report to a medical hospital because of these other things that I have commented on. How long I will actually serve, I don't know, but I hope to spend my final time with my family at least at a point where I can recognize who they are when I see them. And so that remains to be seen.
Yes. But how are you doing yourself right now from just everything in general?
I struggle with my circumstances, frankly. I'm at peace with God,
Most important.
but I struggle with my circumstances. I struggle with the fact that for so many years I worked so hard to help so many people. I wrote an email to a friend of mine the other day, and I don't know what inspired it. But in this email, I relayed some personal stories. I told him of the time that I bought 500 turkeys in a small community where I lived in the summer months. I bought 500 turkeys from the grocery store in town. And I knew the grocery store owner. He lived on the water on Lake Michigan, as I did. And I went to him and I said, "You know what?" I said, I want to buy a bunch of turkeys." He said, "Well, how many do you want to buy?" I said, "500 of them." Wow, he said, no one's ever bought 500 turkeys. What are you going to do with 500 turkeys?" I said, "I want you to make a coupon out, 500 coupons, and I want you to put a notice up in the store that you have 500 coupons and they're available to all the churches, and the churches can hand these coupons out to any of the parishioners they choose fit. And the parishioner simply need to go to your checker and say, 'Hey, I have a coupon. I'll take one of those turkeys.'" So he said, "Mike," he said, "we did. I called my supplier and he said, and we got 500 turkeys. They're all frozen, of course, but they're back in the storage room." And he said, "Your wish is my command." And I gave 500 turkeys away. And so I've done things like that. I told in this email to my friend, I said, "I've given away two homes free and clear because in my real estate days I was quite successful. And I actually gave two homes to needy families free and clear. I gave them the deed to two homes. Nothing fancy, just a modest home, a place to live where they didn't have to worry about things. In one case, the husband had befallen on hard times and was blinded and couldn't work. And his wife had diabetes, and they had two children at home, and welfare wasn't cutting it for him. I gave him a house free and clear. And I gave another house away to another needy person. I bought, I think I told him, I think five new cars for people over the years. Nothing special, just average cars, average new, nice cars with a warranty for people who had a job. They were willing to get a my, you know what? All my life, I have respected and called sir to the man in the men's room who's standing in the airport to shine your shoes or take the towel from you as you exit the men's room. I always give respect to those people because if they're willing to get out of bed and go to work and do something for themselves and their family every day, they deserve my respect, regardless of their station in life. So I've given five cars away over my lifetime to people who had they not had those automobiles, would have lost their jobs because in the rural communities that I grew up in, they wouldn't have had a way to get to and from work. And I've just done many, many things like that. Another time I told him in this email this story, I said, I went to a toy store with some staff members, and I told the manager, I called the manager out of his office. He said, "What can I do for you? Is there a problem?" You know, the managers always have a, you know, what's the problem if a customer calls the manager out, right? I said, no problem, no problem. I said, "This aisle of toys?" He said, "Yeah, what about it?" I said, "This aisle of toys, all the boxes of toys are labeled 2 to 5, 3 to 2, 7 to 8, 9 to 11, and so forth." I said, "I like that. All the boxes are labeled age appropriate." I said, "I like that." He says, "Yeah, so what?" You know, he's got this defensive attitude. I says, "I'll take the entire aisle." He said, "What?" I said, "I'll take all of them." He said, "You're kidding." I said, "No." 3 hours it took two checkers to check out those toys. Three hours.
Wow.
Three
Okay.
hours it took two checkers, you know, scanning, typing, scanning, typing.
Right.
And they gave me the total, and they said, "You know, what card would you like to put that on, sir?" I said, "No card. How much?" And they gave me the number. I started peeling them out, $100 bills. I paid cash, and the manager is there with me. He said, "Mind if I ask you a question?" I said, "Oh, yeah, ask her." "Of course not." He said, "What is your name?" I said, "I'm paying cash because I don't want my name." Everybody else. I'm doing this anonymously, and I had my staff load up all these toys in, I don't remember, this is a few years ago, two or three trucks worth of toys, and they took them all.
Wow.
Oh, that was a lot of toys. 3 hours, two people checking them out.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yep.
You are absolutely right. That's a lot.
Yep. And they took them all to a local fire station for the Toys for Tot Christmas drive. And maybe you're familiar with that. It's popular
Yes.
here in South Florida.
Yes.
And the fire station that year won the award for collecting the most toys. But I was told later that the fireman that helped my staff unload the toys, I mean, here are grown, burly men, you know, and unloading these toys. Unloading these toys, and a few of the men were actually welling up from it. So I've done all kinds of things like that, and just and never have talked about it, and never told the people who's behind it. I've hired Santa Claus to visit homes of the needy people, and made deals with the publisher of the local newspaper for the letters for Santa that I would pour through and choose the letters that I wanted to do something special for the families. And I would hire a Santa to go to the houses and deliver gifts and meals and cash and pay rent. And one family, I'd paid their rent for a year in advance for the house they were in. And it's just things like that I've done all my life, because I've always felt that, you know, once my family's taken care of, there's food on the table, and the education's taken care of, and the kids have nice clothes, and the family's provided for. Why not help other people? Why not do that? Why stick it in some sock and say, "Hey, you know, I've got, you know, all this money squirreled away. So what? You know, what is it for? What's the purpose of making a lot of money if, excuse me, if you can't do some good with it?" So that's part of my story, I guess. Sorry to ramble on, Pamela.
I love it. I love that you are a man with a lot of information. And that's good because you can feed the world with all the information you have, the creativity. You're so inspiring. And I am absolutely honored and I thank you so much for joining me today. Can you tell me how can dreams be a catalyst for creativity?
Dreams are the impetus for goals.
Right?
Every day of my life, every business day, I have awoken to, with my morning coffee, read my goals. And those goals have been written and changed every few months as the year progresses. And those dreams that you have sometimes, you know, at night, They are seed for thought for those goals, right?
Right?
You see yourself in this dream doing something. And you wake up the next morning and say, wow, I wonder if that's a message. Wow, wouldn't that be great? Wow, I wonder if I could live that way. And so you start thinking about it, and somehow that dream can just easily become a written goal. And I cannot stress the importance of a written goal. And only for this reason, and people misunderstand the meaning of putting a goal in writing, and it really is very simple. It's a way to remember your promise to yourself. That's all it is.
A way to remember the promise to yourself. Wow. You have extensive public speaking experience, and for years you were an active member of the Professional Speakers Bureau in Michigan. Tell me a little bit about that.
Growing up, I was told that children are not to speak. They are not allowed to speak. They are there to answer questions of and not voice their opinion. I was just brought up that way. I was not allowed to speak. And as a young adult, I wanted to find a way to overcome that. And I read about the Professional Speakers Association. I thought, you know, if I'm to somehow find a way out of this shell that I have been beaten down into, maybe joining this association will bring me out of that shell and give me the skills that I need and the confidence that I need to stand in front of an audience and speak. I remember struggling so terribly with this concept in college. I remember speech 201, Dr. Pfister. How many college professor names do you remember, Pamela? Dr. Pfister, speech 201. There were only about a dozen students in the class, and I recall that the format of the class was, after a few classes of instructions on how to write a presentation, on the fourth or fifth week of the class, he would pick two students from each class, and he would ask that student to stand up and do an impromptu speech lasting 3 minutes. That's all. And that was the fourth or fifth week of each class. So the fourth or fifth week came, and I approached the door, grabbed that knob, and turned it and walked away. I couldn't go in. I was afraid my name would be called. I failed the class.
Yeah. I can see that, because one thing about me, like, I'm very shy, right? Mm-hmm. But here I am, a leader, I'm a mentor, and I help teach and train. Mm-hmm. But I haven't been like in an audience of over 1,000 people. Just say, and I can feel that. I can feel that what you're saying. And so right now I'm looking into also of being mentored also.
Wonderful.
By yes
wonderful
for public speaking as well. I have a story.
Yes.
And my story, I mean, when I tell my story to my girls that I mentor, and they just can't believe Because when you go through obstacles and challenges, right? And some people think that their story is the worst story ever. But when you hear someone else's story, you would know that your story is nothing compared to their story. And I can say, if it was anyone else, they probably would have committed suicide, been absolutely mentally damaged, because the journey that was designed for me was a horrific journey. And that's one thing that I want to make sure that it's clear. And that's the reason why I didn't go through any mentoring for training, because when I first started and I accepted this situation, and when people were, when I was sought after, they were like, well, don't tell that. Just say this. Well, I have to be the authentic me. And if I can't be authentic about who I am, what the obstacles and challenges that I have gone through, and also the accolades was the most important. And for me to overcome that, that needs to be told. So I will not allow anyone to tell me how I need to tell the truth. Not any lies, it's the truth. And I feel that that is absolutely important. So you are right.
Right on. Right on.
So I did. I have an appointment for a discussion with the speaker's lab. And I did do my research, and they've been following me for many years now. And
Brilliant.
I'm looking forward to moving forward and getting and telling the world about my truth. And especially with all the chaos that we're going through right now. And since I am Girl Empowerment, I read a lot about girls or young women whom have or who are experiencing a lot of trauma. And my story resonates with their trauma, and it has to get out. But it's so sad how abuse amongst children and women is absolutely heartfelt. Do you know that listening to someone tell, like, I just watched a video the other day of this young woman whom had befriended a young guy, and he wanted more out of the relationship, but she didn't want that. She was feeling, her intuition said, no, something wasn't right. And when he set her up and brought her into his home, presenting like he wanted to talk to her, but she just, the next 6 hours, she just experienced like beatings, not just from him, but two, three other women. And I tell you that story, I don't even know how she really stayed alive. But as they say, when you have the will to stay alive, you will.
Get her on the program.
Yes,
Ask
yes,
her these questions.
yes, I am.
You are articulate. You are intelligent. You have a wonderful gift to communicate and bring these people on and have them share their stories with people that need to hear these things.
Yes, I am. I have written down our information, and it is so important because some things like the ACME organization,
What
they did,
organization? The what?
it's called, remember the ACME Too organization?
Okay.
But to me, they only cover from what celebrities do, not from what the regulars, what we're doing, what's happening to us, and it matters. So that's the reason why me and you are here, because my goal and focus is to give this platform for us to share our experiences and be able to talk about our accolades and how we're moving forward and giving back to the world. And Absolutely inspiring.
If we working together can help one person
At a time.
as a result of this hour that we're spending together, it will have been a wonderful investment of our time.
I do agree. I do agree. And I'm looking forward for the future to make sure that I give this platform because it's so important for girls from the ages that I am focused from 14 to adults. And it's so amazing to see how I have interviewed judges, authors, counselors, some DAs, and everyone has a story. But what is so amazing about that is how we have been able to accomplish and overcome adversity. And that's the beautiful thing.
It is. We have to keep going, regardless of those problems in our lives, those confrontations. We have to keep going. We have to do what we can do and help those that we can help. That's why we're here. We
Yes, it is.
we're not here. We're not here for us. We're here for them.
For them. Absolutely. I do agree. I always ask everyone this question, and I have to ask you because this is a important subject to me. So I'm going to ask you as well. Just in your opinion, give me the definition of self-care.
Self-care.
Yes, sir.
I might need a jump start with that. You've got me stumped. Self-care, self-care. Where do I
Yes,
start?
self-care.
I don't know where to start.
Well, just give me a little synopsis of
Self.
self-care in your opinion.
Define what you mean by self-care. That'll give me a jump start.
Okay, so self-care. Here I am. I have bad habits. And I'm totally neglecting myself. And I'm continuing to present these bad habits where it's affecting me moving forward into social growth.
Well,
What should I do?
now you've made my job so much easier, Pamela. Write it down. Look at it every morning. It's a reminder to yourself what's important to you. It's not for the rest of the world to see. I have never, ever shown my goals to anyone else. And I can show you a file going back to 2000 and actually 1972. I have these goals since 1972. 1972 goals, 1973 goals, and on and on and on and on, year after year after year. 50 some years of goals. I have them written down, and they are always private, and they are always just reminders of what's important to me.
Right.
Overcoming the fear of speaking, right? Writing a book, going on stage and speaking to a group for the first time, and on and on and on. Those things that are important to you, self-care. I think that is the answer. Those private, personal notes to you, for you only, not to share with anyone.
Right? Absolutely. I do agree. Absolutely. I do agree. Well, I know I'm up for time. And Mike, you have been a total inspiration for me. As I stated earlier, I had gotten a little teary-eyed because hearing
I
your
warned
story.
you. I
I did. I had to take my glasses off.
warned
So, world, Here it is, Mr. Gillespie. So can you share? Do you have any last minute thoughts to share with us?
Give your life to God. Give your life to God. And live every day. Live every day for that moment in time, that moment in time when you are asked that final question, what have you done to help your fellow man?
Well said. How can someone contact you regarding your services or purchase your ebooks again?
I talk to T-O, the word to, italktogod.com. I read all of the emails that come in from the link on that site, www.italktogod.com.
I love the title of the book.
Thank you.
Well, readers, I have reached my destination, and I leave you, as always, with this quote. Although our intellect always longs for clarity and certainty, our nature often finds uncertainty fascinating. Carl von Clausewitz. Until next time, do have a fabulous day. From a true sapphire herself, Pamela Henderson.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.